today on Real Radio.
Make sure that your hope and your promise is from God. No man can promise you anything. Nobody. We can have the greatest intentions but fail miserably at it. God never fails.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. You know, Peter lived out his life as a true man of God. He didn't start out that way. Peter was quick to act and very slow to listen. Still, Peter's heart was in the right place, and Jesus began to use him in a mighty way. Peter's letters are a testament of how the Christ follower can move from needing constant strength and encouragement to having a combat militant kind of faith, armed with the truth and ready for battle. Eyes On, Ears On has been the title of this three-part message. It's not a term that we hear every day, but if you're living a combat style of faith, it might sound familiar. Eyes On, Ears On is a military response that says you're watching, you're listening, and you're really ready for anything. As it was in Peter's time, today we need combat faith, as there are those who preach a different gospel and are bent on spreading their lies and deception that lead many Christians astray. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that it's important for Christians to watch and listen for false ministries. Why? Well, because they're here and they're active in our communities, and they can indeed be very persuasive. Their teachings are infectious and can draw huge crowds, and only when we share God's word can we combat their false promises and false hope. And now in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Peter chapter 2, and chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and lately word by word, we're going through 2 Peter chapter 2. We've come to a message of these last couple weeks that is entitled Eyes On, Ears On. And that is a covert military response that when the moment of action is ready, you are confirming to those that you are reporting to, we've got eyes on, we've got ears on, we're ready to go. And that's all in the theme of 2 Peter and having combat faith. Remember now, Peter is commissioning the church. It's not 1 Peter. That was all about God's grace and God's love and settling that foundation. 2 Peter is all about moving forward until the end in a militant world that would be antichrist, and that it would be manifested in the avenue and in the lane of false teaching and false prophets. Father, we pray that you would move in our midst. Lord, in the hearing of this message, maybe there's someone here right now. Maybe there's someone watching right now. Maybe this is a broadcast that's later heard on the radio somewhere in the world. We pray, Father God, that you'd strengthen your children, and Lord, that you would expose those that are false. Lord, intensify the fact that the hour is late. We need to cling to your word more than ever. Galvanize us, Lord, in these days. May we not be timid or fearful, but may we be anointed by your Holy Spirit and full of power. As Micah cried out, I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. Lord, your spirit dwells within every believer. And so, Lord, may we live like it. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. This church has a good friend, and I love the man, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. He's a great pastor, attorney, theologian, teaches at Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Mark has been in this pulpit many times. Mark Hitchcock says, and I quote, the greatest danger to the church today is not humanism, paganism, atheism, or agnosticism. The greatest danger is not increasing hostility against our faith from the culture. Our greatest danger is apostasy on the inside, arising from false teachers, theological liberals who deny and distort biblical doctrine and lead others down the same path. I agree with that assessment. And that's why in this study, we're looking at this message of eyes on and ears on, a call to the Christian to take up the Bible and apply it to all that we hear and all that we read regarding the things of the Spirit. And so we come to our third and final argument. The first argument was this, if you remember, maybe you missed out on it, but it was the fact that you and I are commanded in the first verse of this chapter to watch out and listen for false ministries, that we shouldn't be surprised that false ministries would arise. And the first thing we saw is that Peter warned us that they are actually here among us, that they are with us, that wherever God is moving, there's going to be falsehood and infiltrators. And secondly, we saw that they have a tremendous enthusiasm, a great activity to deceive. They do not rest day or night. Jesus stressed that these Pharisees and scribes who denounced Jesus and taught against Jesus' teaching, he said, you know what you guys do? You guys travel land and sea to make one convert to follow your traditions and your paths, and you not only keep them from entering the kingdom of God, you're not going in yourselves. And they're active at it. And they have to be active at it. Those that are members of the cults, they're very busy walking and writing and going door to door and making sure, handing out and petitioning and trying to swoon you into following their aberrant teaching. Now, you can't detect that it's aberrant out front. They lure you in. In fact, I warn you. And I'm hesitating because it's kind of a bummer. All the cults in this region, I watch them come out to our neighborhood. And they literally come down our street. They go door to door to door. They look, they stop, they look at something on their paper, a wall, something. They look at my address and they just walk right past my house. And I find that highly offensive. I'm very much offended at that. But when they come and knock on your door, they're going to tell you that they're Christians. When you say, hi, how are you? They say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, we're Christians too. But you need to join our team. Well, what if I'm a Christian? If you're a Christian, why do I need to join your team? They will not back off. They will seek to allure you and gather you. And listen, if they smell blood in the water, they'll revisit you again. You need to answer them at the doorstep. You need to give them the truth at the doorstep. Church, listen, if you go to some other church, that's your business. I have no jurisdiction over you. But if you go to this church, I do not want you to turn the cultist away from your door. I want you to give them answers. I want you to give them the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. They vary on peripheral issues, but they never, never, never vary on this one issue, that Jesus Christ is not God. They all agree on that. Stick with the deity of Christ and give them that, and the Holy Spirit will bless. But they're active. We also learned last time that they're so persuasive. They're so good-looking. They're so well-groomed. They're so nice, all with a motive. All with a motive. And so people will have a messed up life. They'll have a broken family. They'll have issues like everybody, like us all. And they'll knock on the door and they'll talk to you in such a way. Don't discount the fact that Satan is moving. The Bible makes it clear that they're peddling doctrines of demons. There's invisible activity and they're persuasive. Second argument we saw was last week is that we need to watch out and listen for false crowds. That just because there's a crowd of people doesn't make it true. Remember that? False crowds. Very dangerous. We saw that they're dangerous because it seems to send a message of approval. Well, there's a whole lot of people. And we push that hard. There's a lot of people in this service. It doesn't make it a true service. This is only a New Testament church if the gospel is preached in biblical accuracy. Did you know that? We can gather together. We can come real close to being a first century style Christian church, but we could miss it. If the gospel's not preached, we could miss it. They're dangerous. Secondly, we learn that they're infectious. And I want you to think about how infectious false doctrine can be. It gets in your head. delivered to you by some persuasive vessel, person, medium. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a DVD series, maybe it's a movie, maybe it's a preacher or an evangelist or a motivational speaker. But it begins to infect you, which leads to a fatality. We saw that last time. Imagine today how many people are in hell that were religious when they were on earth. I bet there's more people in hell who today that held to a religion rather than them being atheistic. Most people in the world are religious, but they embrace the falsehood, not the true. And so now we come to our third and final closing argument, eyes on and ears on, it is this, is that you and I are to be watching out and listening for false promises. And if you write down this point, third point, as false promises, you can equally write down to watch out and listen for false hope. False hope. Now, I'm going to try to control myself. This gets me as a pastor angry when people are given false hope. Imagine you going to the doctor and they can, how many times do we hear about this? You go to a doctor because you saw a little funny mark on your skin. And you looked at it, it kind of concerned you. You went to a doctor, the doctor looked at it and said, I'm not concerned about that, you're okay. And you go away, and then 9 months later, you find out that you've got cancer. And that was one of the warning signs. And if caught earlier, it could have been prevented. I don't know about you, but that doctor ought to go pick another career, you know? And as a pastor in ministry, we're supposed to give you and point you to the truth of God, the Word of God, and make sure that your hope and your promise is from God. No man can promise you anything. Nobody. Even with the greatest intentions. We have no ability to keep a promise. We can have the greatest intentions but fail miserably at it. God never fails. Look at verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you, these false teachers, these false prophets. How do they do it? With deceptive words. You're going to be shocked to find out what that means. And then quickly he adds, thank God he adds, for a long time, two things. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Their destruction's coming. I remember so many years ago, we had pulled over and stopped to get gas and something, stretch our legs in the middle of the California desert. And we were goofing off and there's a train track and we looked way ahead. You can see a train coming just by the light. It's coming. And so my dad always told us, put your ear on the rail. You ever done that? No? Yeah. There's two things you do on a train track. If you want to know if a train's coming, you put your ear on the track. Even if you can't see it, you can hear the train coming on the track in the metal. Just don't leave your head there, but you can. And then the second thing is put a penny on the track. See what happens to it. So this train's coming. And it's so far away. And we're standing so close to the track. And it's coming. And we start to back up. And it's moving. I think we should back up more. And it comes by, and let me tell you something. Scared me to death. Because at the last moment, I saw tin cans and trash and stuff being sucked in underneath the train. Have you ever seen that happen? And when it went by, you could feel the air try to pull you into the train. Never stand close to a train moving at a great speed. And these false doctrines and these people come on the scene like a freight train of promise. They promise you this, they promise you that. They appeal to your flesh. Ministries that take the easy road. It's very wide. Many people are on that path. And they'll promise you the moon and deliver nothing but destruction. And the Bible promises us this, they will destroy. But they come with inflated promises. If you do this, God will do the other. Notice that when they preach these words, and I'm not going to show you the things. I was going to show you a litany of sound bites and clips of these preachers promising you the moon. But it became so nauseous after a while with covetousness or by covetousness, they will exploit you. That word means merchandise. Write it down. They will focus on you as a market to conquer. They will focus on you like someone to merchandise money out of you. By covetousness. That's what that word means, is to make a living off of you. Covetousness. Write it down if you would. It means to take advantage of. Brazenly, by the way. You know what? We don't use that word much anymore. You know brazen? Do you know what it means to be brazen? It means to be without apology. They will rob you blind and smile looking at you right in the face. Like somebody holding a gun. They don't hold a gun. They hold a Bible. And they'll rob you blind. Why? Because in them, they are consumed with covetousness. They want, and their desire to have is so insatiable that they will prostitute you to get what they want. False prophets, false teachers, and they're everywhere. By the way, just for the record, did you notice this morning that you had the opportunity to give to God as you so will? That was for those who go to church here. Did you notice that? If you're visiting, you're not supposed to give. If you've been coming to this church and you're not sure yet if this is your church, you're not supposed to give. You only give when you're convinced that this is what God would have you to do. That goes for anything and everything, by the way, when it comes to spiritual investments. These clowns will make merchandise of you. If you give $50 to their ministry, they'll send you holy water from the Galilee. If you give them $100, they'll send you a pencil that they use to, you know what I'm saying? Merchandise, covetousness, to be brazenly desirous of what others have. By covetousness, they will exploit you. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 3. Follow along if you would. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourselves any carved images. That's to be covetousness to do that. Of any likeness of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Why? Because that is an indication of covetousness. Why? You're doing this to get something back. For I, the Lord, am your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Skip down to verse 13. You shall not murder. What's the source? What's the root to murder? Why would you murder somebody? I believe, according to the Bible, it's not only pride, but I think you can, I don't know if you can separate pride from covetousness. I know linguistically you can, but in action or activity, Cain killed Abel. He was proud and he coveted God's word to Abel. Cain coveted that. He disobeyed God, but he wanted the blessing of God. The blessing fell upon his brother, all because Cain didn't do the right thing. He could have done the right thing. I submit to you today that anyone who murders is coveting something. Is it power? Control over somebody? Coveting. You shall not commit adultery. That's covetousness, is it not? You see someone's husband, you see someone's wife, and you want them. You want them for your own self-gratification. David did that. King David saw Bathsheba and had her husband killed so he could have her. Covetousness. When you want somebody else's spouse, you're coveting. It's an abomination to God. It needs to be repented of. Verse 15 says, you shall not steal. Well, that's obvious, covetousness. Think of it, steal, steal. And you know, where are you gonna go with this? I've never stolen a car. Well, yeah, but do you walk on Friday afternoon, do you walk out of the office with company pencils, pens, and erasers? You didn't buy those. He goes on, Moses goes on. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's covetousness. Why? Because when you bear false witness against your neighbor, you're destroying their reputation so that yours looks better. You covet a higher estimate among your peers, so you'll destroy your neighbor by lying about them. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Obviously, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, obviously, nor his male servants or his female servants, his ox. Now, in this region of the world, his horse. You guys have horses, I promise you. I'm not tempted by your beautiful Arabian horses. I don't like horses. They're beautiful, but they're too powerful for me. I told a group of people yesterday, I also don't like animals that are smarter than me. I don't like that. So, but some of you have horses, and that's fantastic. But you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's horse or ox, nor his donkey. And the Jack version of this, it's his Ferrari or his Porsche. You shall not covet his Ferrari, his Porsche, his vet. What is it for you? His F-150 Raptor. Can you believe it? Ford Motor Company makes an F-150 pickup truck. It's selling for over $100,000. Who would pay for that? People who love trucks. And when you see this Raptor go down the street, there's a tendency, you see men, they just start drooling at the stoplight. Roll down your window. Press your button, your window goes down, and rebuke them in the name of the Lord to repent of their covetousness. We all have something that we're fighting. I have to confess, on Friday night, I apparently out of Chino Airport, because this plane flew over my house in Chino Hills heading somewhere, but it was a 1940 Cessna, and it's a tail dragger, and it's really old and beautiful, and I looked at that thing, and I said, Lord, I went just like this, Lord, that would be, Lord, forget it. Covetousness. We're not to covet anything that is of our neighbors, says Moses.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king. Yet we've all but forgotten him. This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.